Really, darling, you are quite lovely. I'm sure you'll propose.
I heard Rarity's voice before I saw her. I blinked. The city I was in was deathly familiar, albeit far cleaner than I had seen it. Manhattan. Ponies flittered to and fro through its crowded streets. Billboards for Sparkle Cola were accompanied by war propaganda posters that reminded the citizens of Equestria about the evils of the zebra. The Ministry Mayor of Image herself trotted around the corner, accompanied by a fetching younger Earth Mayor, the latter clad in a cute little scarf and a beret, while the former wore a dress I'd seen her in as part of her station. Flanking the two of them were two unicorns, identical in the trappings of security detail. The younger man nodded, her cream coat shining in the sun.
I don't know, Rarity, the mayor said. He said he wanted to talk. You know what that means.
She stomped her hoof. I couldn't help but grin at that. She was terribly cute.
Coco, you must have some faith in yourself. You're one of the most talented fashion designers in the country, not to mention the head of our own magazine. He'd be quite mad not to want to propose to you,
Rarity replied seriously.
Besides, you getting married would mean I would get to design your dress. It would only be right after all.
Coco rolled her eyes and giggled as the two ponies found a quiet place in a nearby park to sit. I followed behind, keeping tabs on the memory as it continued to play. Rarity nodded at her security detail, who disappeared, saying nothing.
I was actually surprised to hear from you, Rarity,
Coco went on to say.
I was under the impression that you didn't want to speak with me anymore.
Darling, don't ever think that,
Rarity said, placing a hoof on Coco's shoulder.
You're one of my oldest friends, after all. What would ever give you that idea?
Coco sighed.
I just thought you might have been mad at me over Suri,
she said.
You two never got along well, and I know she said some things.
Rarity smiled.
I will admit I was distraught over the fact that you had hired her,
she said.
But I could never stay mad at you over that. You were only doing what you had to do for your business, and I was being called to assist Luna with the ministries. How is Miss Palomar these days?
The ministry mayor's horn lit up, two glasses filled with wine appearing from nowhere. She offered one to Coco, who took it graciously.
She's better,
Coco said, smiling.
She's done a fabulous job managing the models, the magazine spreads, you know.
To be honest, I'm jealous just a tiny bit, darling,
Rarity said, taking a sip of her wine.
To be young and to be free to do what you want with your life. There are days when I wish...
Coco cocked her head.
Wish what?
She asked. Rarity smiled again, taking another sip.
Nothing to concern yourself with, my friend. Now, tell me more about the special sand pony of yours,
she said.
Is he handsome?
Coco grinned. Time fell into a frozen state as I noticed the white alicorn behind Rarity. Generosity looked down upon the Ministry Mayor of Image with a warmth I hadn't ever seen.
I miss her greatly, she said. I had forgotten just how much she put in the needs of others before herself. A true spirit of generosity.
I nodded. The spirit mare looked up at me and smiled.
I'm sorry that it had to come to this radiant star. Spark's strength is overpowering the spirits of harmony. The corruption is too deep to save any of us.
It's not that deep,
I said, narrowing my gaze at her.
I know that I can do it. I have to. The world depends on it.
I admire your dedication, darling,
Generosity replied.
But the stronger Spark becomes, the more the corruption spreads to her.
Corruption?
I said, raising an eyebrow. Generosity nodded.
You mean nightmare?
Indeed. Spark's soul, her magic, were tainted by the nightmare. Her dreams of power fueled by the megalomania that was nightmare,
she said.
Power corrupts, Radiant Star. Never forget that.
I grimaced.
I need your help then,
I said.
Spark is dangerous. She's going to sow destruction throughout Equestria.
Generosity narrowed her gaze at me.
You know as well as I do that I can't help you directly, Star,
she replied.
Spark still has control over us. I can give you the opportunity to destroy the gem, but that is all.
I nodded, glancing down at Rarity and Coco. I suddenly realized something, looking back up at the alicorn.
You spoke before about being a real pony, a real alicorn,
I said. Generosity closed her eyes.
Six friends brought together by the same six virtues set by Ponykind,
she spoke softly.
Yes, I was once flesh and blood. My real name has been since lost to history. I don't even remember it myself. What happened to you?
I asked.
Life. It happens to all of us, Radiant Star. We fought, we squabbled, eventually we split. Even powerful magical beings like Alicorns can experience the loss of friendship,
Generosity said.
But you're the Elements of Harmony,
I said.
How could that happen to you? There was one who sought to destroy the wonder and friendships that we had built,
the White Alicorn explained.
She was a shadow, Nightmare. She succeeded in splitting us apart. We were offered a second chance to save our world. We had to give up our physical forms. We were bound, flesh and blood, to the Tree of Harmony. It became our prison, our blessing, our curse. We were able to transcend the shadow's influence for a time. But she evolved as well, corrupted us. The bearers were our strength, our rock in the storm, our light shining in the darkness.
She sighed. I looked back at Rarity, the frozen mare brilliant in the sun.
There's a new bearer out there for you too, you know,
I said.
You must have felt it. You can be with them. Give life back to Equestria. Be given that rock back. You're right. I can feel their presence out there,
Generosity said.
If Spark takes that away from you, this world is doomed,
I said.
It will be as it once was, like Nightmare once tried to make it. You don't really want that. Equestria needs the Elements of Harmony.
Generosity sighed, going silent. We sat there awkwardly for several moments before she spoke again.
Fine, I will do what I can to aid you, but only because you've made a compelling case. I would not see Spark dead for a crime so,
she said.
I will do what I can to save her,
I replied. Generosity smiled brightly as the memory began to fade to white. My eyes opened groggily, the memory fading from me as I stood over the prone form of Avarice. The White Alicorn's eyes flared angrily as she shuffled back away from me. I noticed that trapping her in the memory hadn't disabled the crystal prison. It must have been one hell of a spell to survive its caster being disabled temporarily. Avarice snarled loudly as she stared me down.
What did you do?
She roared.
Insolent little bitch who thinks that she can make us remember! I will destroy you!
Her horn ignited, the humming charts of crystal appearing in the air around her. I counted quickly. 25. I grinned.
I gave you the opportunity to see the truth, Avarice, I said calmly. Now, stop this madness and surrender. I promise I'll make you dispersal quick. Never!
Avarice said angrily, bringing the charts together in a brilliant, blinding blade.
Meet my magical blade, you disgusting beast!
The charts split apart again, soaring through the air at me. I grunted as I jumped to dodge the first chart. The second hit me in the shoulder blade, setting my skin on fire as it tore away chunks of my flesh. I cringed through the pain, sending a blast of telekinesis that knocked the chart away. I needed to destroy the gem. Generosity's spirit could only give me so much time. Avarice wasn't ready to go down without a fight, though. The white mare charged forward, bringing up her blade, the charts hurtling at me at speeds I didn't even know were possible. I yelped as another piece of crystal bit into my side, panting as I tried to come up with some way to fight back. Avarice was strong, no doubt about that. The Alicorn's pent-up fury had released itself in a flare of malice.
I will destroy you, Radiant Star!
Avarice roared as I scrabbled backwards away from an errant chart that had nearly missed my hawks.
Your dead body will herald the new age, the age of harmony for all Ponykind. I will ensure it. You're ensuring nothing, Avarice. That's the corruption talking,
I shouted as I dodged another chart.
You're letting it get to you. Fight it. Turn the nightmare away,
Avarice replied by sending three charts right at my head. I ducked to the side, grunting as I hit the ground. There was no reasoning with her. Her anger was only fueling her skill with the strange splitting blade she wielded. I was barely keeping away from each strike. I growled, sticking up a shield, hoping to block any more attacks, but it was destroyed just as easily by a battery of crystals.
Come on, Star, get it together. You're wasting too much time. The others could be dead or worse.
I thought as I flared my horn, pushing back with another wave of telekinesis. The chats were clearly receptive to the skill, but pushing them around was considerably more difficult. Was there something different about how she used them? I needed to know more, but there wasn't enough time to analyze her talent. All I knew is that there was no way I could beat it unless...
Wait, that's it! I wonder if I can do this too,
I thought frantically. My horn ignited, reaching into the magic required to make my own blade of solid magic. The purple sword appeared out of nowhere next to me. I scrunched my nose as I figured out what to do next. Was it just as easy as splitting it into pieces? It was worth a shot. I compressed harder with my magic, solidifying the blade until it appeared to be completely opaque and made of pure amethyst. I panted and began to separate the pieces off until I had five. Five charts floating in the air above me. I grunted as I caught Avarice's eyes. A sharp grin emerged upon her face, but something told me I'd clearly caught her by surprise.
So, you think you can match my skill? She said. I'm sorry, darling, but five charts is nowhere close enough to defeat me. I can sure as fuck try,
I deadpanned back, floating one of the charts up so that I could inspect it. It was pure and cold to the touch, tinged by the light purple that made up the amethyst core. It responded to my telekinesis like it was an extension of myself, humming and buzzing while it waited for my command.
Very well, then, Avery said. We shall do this properly, then. A true alicorn duel. You see, Radiant Star, my magic is rooted in the most ancient of skilled arts, the way of the blade. Every alicorn, every unicorn that can master this art has a blade of their own, much like a cutie mark.
She gestured to the floating charts around her.
Mine is called Vorpal, named for its destructive and dangerous properties. Fear it, for it shall be your doom. Well, for right now, mine's called Fuck You, I replied angrily. And I don't put much stock in doom, so let's just see which of our little toys is better, all right?
I grinned, charging forward and flaring my horn. The first amethyst chart went soaring across the crystal prison, aimed for Avarice's shoulder. It was blocked by several of her own. I growled, whipping about with the second chart while she was concentrating on my first. Blocked. Third chart. Blocked. Avarice looked highly amused with herself as I held my fourth and fifth chart at the ready. I grimaced. Avarice was seriously the strongest one I'd had to fight so far, and I wasn't sure how much time I had before generosity could no longer allow me to disperse her. I charged forward, floating along the final charts as I ran. Avarice's other charts were pinning down my three others, and I couldn't move them. I needed to somehow catch her off guard. Avarice merely grinned as I made my way at her. She was clearly unamused. I flared my horn, sending my last chart spiraling around each other towards the white alicorn, fully expecting her to block it. At the last minute, I dispersed all of the charts, forcing them to disappear. Avarice's charts struck the crystal ground harmlessly. I leapt, spreading open my wings as I landed on the white alicorn.
What's a...
she cried out. I stretched out a hoof, slamming right into her perfect little face. Immediately her charts dissipated, her horn sparking as I hit it. She growled loudly, but I gave her no chance to get back up again. Using my full weight, I pushed down, holding her still.
You were too confident, Avarice,
I said, floating out Stargazer.
You tell Spark I'm coming for her. I'll save her and this whole thing will end.
Avarice's eyes widened as I lowered the minigun to level with her chest crystal. Pushing off and landing roughly to the side, I squeezed the trigger, unleashing blast after blast of magical energy into the white mare. The beams struck the crystal, causing it to crack. I grimaced as I stood back up. The mare's purple eyes were cracking up, the orbs furious with rage.
You won't win, Radiant Star,
she howled.
This world will be one of...
Her words cut off sharply as the chart in her chest finally exploded, her body going still. A heavy rumbling began to emanate from all around me as the crystal prison I'd been trapped in began to dissolve. I blinked as I found myself back in the same clearing with the gate. A howling sound erupted from nearby and I snapped to attention. Cerberus was on the run, charging away into the underbrush. My friends stood victorious, staring down Cruelty, who looked seriously pissed. My friends were okay. They weren't dead.
Star,
I heard Violet call out. I trotted up next to her.
What in the heck happened here?
I asked. Sunshine grinned.
Sent Cerberus packing, she replied, motioning at Cruelty. Turns out by distracting this crazy bitch, she loses control over him. Easy peasy lemon breezy.
I smiled, looking up at Cruelty. Her eyes found me and she scowled even more.
You may have defeated Cerberus, but you can't defeat me,
she boasted, snarling as her eyes widened. I felt my own eyes widen as she unleashed the stare. My friends dropped their guard immediately. I stopped dead in my tracks, caught in Cruelty's magic. She gazed woefully upon the ruins of the crystal prison that Averys had created.
However, it seems you have defeated Averys. How unfortunate. She would have liked to see your demise.
Her eyes closed and I felt the stare lift. I was able to move again.
Now, witness the true power of Cruelty.
The yellow mare opened her mouth and a low tone began to emanate from it. The gate hummed loudly from behind us. I spun about, watching as a crackling energy poured forth from the stonework. The chart at the top was flickering, powering the portal that had appeared there. Cruelty's eyes opened and she continued her haunting tune. My eyes widened as the first thing slid through the doorway. It was in equine, massive and glistening with some sort of oily substance. It howled as it saw us.
Come forth, creatures of Tartarus!
Cruelty shrieked.
Come forth to your new master! The gatekeeper Cerberus is no longer here! The creatures of Tartarus!
I thought, looking back at Cruelty.
Is she fucking insane?
I grimaced, lifting Stargazer.
This isn't good, Nixie said calmly.
I shook my head in response. The monster lumbered across a clearing, propelled along by two twisted legs. Its eyes were a deep red, pulsing and gleaming as it lunged across a clearing. I took the first shot, sending a barrage of blue light at the monster. It cried out as it hit the ground, steam pouring from where it managed to hit it. The portal shimmered, more of the oily beasts slithering out of it.
Not good at all,
Violet exclaimed, lifting Thunderflash. She took several shots of her own, hitting the monster's hard and fast with beams of silver fire. The first of the creatures met us as Nixie leapt into the fray. He ripped apart the creatures with bare claws, snarling and snapping. Sunshine stood off to the side, surrounded by three of the beasts. Her horn flared, grabbing all three of them with vines as it shot out of the ground. She smashed them together, piling them into a heap. Meanwhile, Cruelty stood above the scene, cackling madly. I brought up Stargazer, pumping a blast of magical energy into one of the approaching monsters. Five more poured out of the gate.
There's too many of them,
I shouted above the roar of the mob.
I need to take down Cruelty, her magic's fueling the gate. Get to her,
Violet called back, firing another round with Thunderflash.
We'll be fine, we can hold them off.
I grimaced, but finally nodded. I flapped my wings, lifting into the air and landing on the ruined section of the building across from Cruelty. The yellow elecon's eyes were wild, the pink in them shimmering brightly.
You can't stop it now, Ministry Mare,
she shouted.
It's too late. The gate is open, and without the gatekeeper, the beasts of Tartarus will come forth and ensure our victory. You're a fucking psycho, Cruelty,
I said calmly. I needed to distract her, get her to break her concentration. I took a step forward, pointing at her with a hoof.
It's time we ended this. Averys is gone, and now it's your turn.
Cruelty narrowed her gaze at me.
I don't think so, she said. I don't know how you destroyed Averys, but I will kill you for that.
Her horn flared and I heard a massive groaning at the gate. I turned to see the gate begin to expand. Something very, very big was attempting to force itself through the doorway. I growled, turning back to Cruelty. A shimmering yellow shield surrounded the mare, a wicked grin on her lips. Whatever was going to appear, it wouldn't be good.
Cruelty! I called out. You have to stop this. You're going to cause worse things to happen.
I took another step forward, the roar of whatever was going to come through stopping me in my tracks. I glanced down at the others. They were holding against the oily creatures, but they were beginning to close in on them. The portal was opening wider and wider by the second, and there wasn't anything I could do to get through Cruelty's shield. I growled under my breath. I had to do something. I turned, lifting Stargazer and sending a blast of magical energy at the shield. It bounced away harmlessly, leaving the yellow elecon unharmed.
Star!
I heard Violet call out. I looked down, my eyes widening. The portal yawned widely, a massive red-eyed beast with jaws bigger than my entire body poking out of it. I was about to teleport the others away when I heard it. The most beautiful sound I'd ever heard. The pitched whining of a weapon I'd missed.
"Stay the fuck away from my friends!"
Lilith shouted, the pitched whining followed by the explosive impact of a missile striking the foot of the gate. The black mare soared down, grinning as she unleashed the full power of the bitch at the portal, sending the monstrosity reeling back. Lilith crowed, the gate collapsing in on itself. Cruelty's shield dropped, the yellow mare's eyes widening at the failure of her spell. I grinned, taking the opportunity presented by her. I swung Stargazer like a club, smacking the Elecon upside the head with it. She fell backwards, hitting the ground hard.
"Huh, that was a lot easier than I thought it was gonna be,"
I mused, stepping forward and igniting my horn. I lowered my head, sending the stream of magic from my horn to Cruelty's own. I touched the tip of mine to hers, the world falling away into nothingness. My eyes adjusted to the soft light and I spent a few moments trying to get my bearings. I was in some sort of Ministry of Peace hospital room. A pony rested at the far end of the room, laying just so I couldn't tell who it was. The door opened, revealing a butter-yellow Pegasus with a pink mane. She wore a simple doctor's coat, her silky smooth wings poking through the holes on each side. She trotted over to the pony's bedside, pulling up a chair to sit on.
"Good morning, Cloud Chaser,"
Fluttershy said softly. The pony in the bed shifted, turning over slightly to gaze at the Ministry mare. I gasped softly when I saw that the Pegasus had been burned all along her side, bandages doing their best to cover the worst of her injuries. Her wing on the burned side was wrapped up, but it looked small and weak. Another set of bandages covered half the mare's face.
"Good morning, ma'am,"
the mare replied. Her voice was throaty like she hadn't had water in ages.
"I understand that you had a small incident with the orderlies earlier this morning,"
Fluttershy said.
I didn't mean to,"
Cloud Chaser said weakly.
It was too much."
Fluttershy smiled warmly, reaching out to place a hoof on the mare's bed. Cloud Chaser rested her own next to it, sighing.
"It's all right, Cloud Chaser. No pony here blames you for it. Wartime stress disorder gets to all of us,"
the yellow Pegasus said.
"I've spoken with your doctors. They feel that it's the best if you remain here until you can be properly treated."
Cloud Chaser's eyes widened.
"But I was supposed to be discharged,"
she cried, trying to push herself out of her bed. I cringed.
"My sister was supposed to come pick me up. I can't have WTSD.
Fluttershy remained calm, a grimace forming on her face.
"Cloud Chaser,"
she said, instantly stopping the other mare in her tracks.
"I'm very sorry about this, but what's done is done. You need psychiatric help. Your sister has been informed already about the change in plans. She will be here this afternoon to visit you. I know what you've been through was traumatic, so please lay down."
You don't know what I've been through,"
Cloud Chaser started to shout.
"I could have died, Fluttershy. The dragon could have killed me. Instead, I get to live the rest of my life like a fucking flightless bird."
She lowered her head.
"Actually, you probably already know what that feels like."
Fluttershy frowned.
"Now, Cloud Chaser, we both know that was uncalled for,"
she said.
"I know that you feel responsible for what happened during that mission, but you know that no pony involved blames you. Even Rainbow testified at your court-martial."
"Yeah, and she said she wished she'd never put me in charge, that I was a newbie, that I didn't know what the fuck I was doing,"
Cloud Chaser snorted. Her good eye was full of rage and pain. Fluttershy remained stoic, despite the fact that the other mare was shouting at her face. Finally, she reached out and grabbed the other Pegasus in a hug, taking her by surprise.
"I'm sorry,"
she squeaked.
"I'm so, so sorry."
Her squeaks devolved into sobs. Cloud Chaser couldn't take it anymore. She too began to sob uncontrollably. Time slowed to a crawl as I noticed her. Kindness sat by the window, looking out upon the hospital grounds. She turned to regard me.
"Radiant Star,"
she said simply, glancing furtively at her hooves.
"I wish that this meeting could have come about on better terms."
"As do I,"
I said.
We both know why I'm here. I need your help in severing the link to cruelty.
Kindness nodded silently. I trotted over, slumping to my haunches next to her.
I can't do that,
she said.
I want to do that. I'm afraid, Radiant Star. Spark is growing in strength. She's getting ready to cast her spell, but she needs you to do it.
I cocked my head.
Why me?
I said.
What makes me so special that she needs me?
I do not know,
Kindness said.
I only know that she wants you. You were strong enough to reject her once. Maybe she believes your host body will give her the strength she needs to cast a spell to bring us into the physical world.
I grimaced slightly.
I can't let that happen, I said. You don't belong here. You belong with your bearer. The world needs your element. It needs kindness, not cruelty.
Kindness looked down at her hoofs, nodding slightly.
I wish that I could go back and be with her,
she said, motioning at the silent Fluttershy.
She was such a wonderful pony. So loving, so kind. She loved the world more than any pony else I'd ever known.
Until the war, I said casually.
Naturally. War wasn't in Fluttershy's nature. It never was. Sure, she tried to do her best to end it, but in the end she ended it the only way she knew how, by killing everything.
Kindness said.
I was saddened the day she gave the mega spells to the zebra. She was trying so hard to get every pony to cooperate, to work together. It just wouldn't work.
But it can, I said softly, something finally clicking in the back of my mind that I'd worked so hard to understand.
We can learn from our mistakes, learn from our past, grow from it. The world isn't our fault and neither are the little things that happen in it. We have to take responsibility for our own lives and keep moving forward.
A grand sentiment indeed,
Kindness replied.
One I can only hope takes root in the Equestrian Wasteland, Radiant Star. Harmony is about caring for one another. This world desperately needs that.
I smiled, nodding in reply.
I promise I will do my best,
I said.
It's all I can do, but I promise to work towards that goal. Every day, working towards harmony. I will save Spark, I will. I don't know how yet, but I can't just destroy her. She's magic for Pony's sake. The world needs her to guide the new bearers, whoever they may be.
Kindness lifted her gaze to meet mine.
Then go,
she said.
Go and defeat my physical form. I will not make it hard on you.
She will break,
defenseless. Destroy the gem and disperse her.
I grinned widely as the memory began to fade to absolute white. The memory spell faded and I opened my eyes. I was still standing over the prone form of cruelty. The broken mare glared at me, but she made no attempt to stand to fight me. I glanced down at the others. Lilith's appearance had turned the tide of the fight against the oily creatures from the gate, which now lay in ruins. The keystone holding the chart lay several feet from the destroyed structure, still shining brightly in the darkness. Lilith hovered in the air next to the others, talking excitedly with them.
Get it over with,
cruelty said. I turned back to her, grimacing.
You aren't going to fight back?
I said, feeling very confused.
The others at least tried to fight back.
There's no use, cruelty replied.
I could use my powers on you, but you have your friends. I'm outnumbered and I know it. You could run away,
I mused. Cruelty scowled.
I could, but I'm not a fast flyer, she said.
To be honest, I'm done. Severing my ties with Kindness, I'm afraid I couldn't keep up with you in a straight combat if I tried.
I see,
I said. I flared my horns, summoning my blade. The 5-segmented amethysts hung in the air around me, humming and buzzing, waiting for me to command them. I looked down at the yellow mare and grimaced.
I guess this is it then.
Cruelty nodded, closing her eyes. One of the amethyst shards soared down, slamming into the gem on her chest. It cracked and dissipated, Cruelty's body disappearing with it. I breathed a sigh of relief, slumping to my haunches. I dismissed the blade spell, grunting. I thought about what had just happened. I didn't feel bad about defeating Cruelty. She had nearly killed my friends and almost brought forth an army of monsters from Tartarus.
Hey, Star!
I heard from the ruins below, breaking me out of my thoughts. I craned my neck and glanced down, seeing Violet. She was waving. I groaned, sitting up. I flapped my wings, carrying myself down to the others. They rushed up to me as I landed.
"Are you all right?" Sunshine said.
I nodded, smiling.
"I'm fine,"
I replied, looking over at Lilith.
"What are you doing here? What happened to Patch and Avira?"
The black mare smiled softly.
"Patch and Avira are fine. They're back in Ponyville by now," she said. "Turns out the mountain wasn't all that far from the edge of the forest. We got there in record time."
"Well, I'm glad you made it back in time," I said. "We really needed the help. Now, if you'll excuse me for a second, I have something to do."
I turned to where the chart rested inside the keystone. My horn flared, lifting the chart out of the stone. I lifted Stargazer, opening its sight and temporarily removing the star crystal. The two merged together in a blaze of purple light. The crystal began to glow brightly, firing a blast of light into the air that I knew only I could see. It pointed across the forest, and I knew just where. The cathedral. Where Spark was. I floated the crystal back into the power core of Stargazer, closing it up. I sighed.
"Everything all right, Star?"
I heard Violet say from my side. I nodded.
"It's time," I said. "The last chart. Spark has it already. We have to go there."
"Where's there?" Sunshine asked. I grimaced, pointing with the hoof to the north where the light had been pointing.
"The old castle," I said. "That's where Spark is. She's at the cathedral."
Violet's eyes widened.
"Isn't that where Red Eye's slaver headquarters used to be?"
she asked. I grimaced, nodding.
"Well, that's great. Are you sure that's where Spark is?"
I nodded again.
"I've seen it,"
I said, putting a hoof to my chin.
"At least, I think I have. It was a bit of a dream, but I talked to Spark."
I began latching up my gear, attaching Stargazer to its harness.
"So this is all based on a dream you had where you talked to Spark,"
Violet said, raising an eyebrow.
"Are you sure you're all right?" "I'm fine, Violet. Trust me on this," I said. "I'm not crazy." "I never said you were, sweetheart,"
Violet replied, smiling sweetly.
All right, we'll go there. We should get going then. We still have one more element that hasn't shown up yet, too."
"I know," I said, grimacing.
"Laughter, I have a bad feeling about that one."
"Off to save the world, then?"
Lilith asked, grinning. She flexed her wings and I chuckled, nodding.
"Something like that, yeah,"
I said, starting off into the underbrush. We traveled deep into the forest for the better part of 2 hours, hearing nothing more than the insects and thankfully seeing nothing else that wanted to kill us. I kept gazing at the forest, wondering what was next. We were going to Spark, to finally end this journey that I had been on for what felt like so long. I didn't know how I felt about that exactly. I wondered what the others thought about all of this. There was still so much we didn't know that I didn't know about the journey ahead. What was going to happen to me? I didn't know. But I knew that I would have to make the journey as best as I could and try my hardest to save Spark. Each encounter with the elements proved that the world needed the virtues they represented. The world needed magic, kindness, honesty, loyalty, generosity, and even laughter. Laughter. That worried me. The final element had yet to appear, and that frightened me to no end. I was worried that when she did, I wouldn't like it.
"So, what's the deal with this cathedral?"
Lilith said while we walked.
"The cathedral was the headquarters of a slaver named Red Eye. Well, at least that was where his headquarters was after he left Philadelphia," Violet explained. "It was supposed to have been destroyed after the Lightbringer paid him a visit." "Except that Spark rebuilt the most important part," I said, cringing at the dream that I'd had with Spark. "The part where the taint vats were built."
"Taint vats?" Sunshine asked. We pushed through another set of brush, revealing a bridge that looked down into a valley. There it was. The cathedral. The structure was ruined, broken into hundreds of pieces of rock and rubble. Sitting on the far end of the valley was a giant ship, made partially out of clouds. It was overturned, pieces of its hull laying on the ground, its insides exposed to the air. I grimaced. The entrance to the place would be near that ship, I assumed.
Yeah, taint vets, I said. Trust me, taint is not good stuff.
I see, Sunshine said.
I'll take your word for it.
We're going to need to go down there, I said, pointing at the ship.
The entrance to the cathedral will be there.
The others nodded. I started down the hill, keeping my eyes on the structure. Did Spark know we were this close? Did she know that I had defeated avarice and cruelty? I was sure that she had. She knew about deceit and obsession. She had to know that we were on our way. The journey down the ridge only took about 20 minutes, putting us on level ground with the ruins of the cathedral. As we made our way closer towards the ruined structure of the ship, I began to notice movement ahead. I tensed up, unletting Stargazer instinctively. It floated up next to me and I narrowed my gaze at the ship.
Star, Violet said, placing a hoof on my shoulder. I looked down at her. She smiled.
It's okay, there's nothing there.
I saw something, I said angrily.
There's movement up ahead.
Hello, a voice said, cutting through our argument. I looked up, blinking as I noticed the other pony. It wasn't an alicorn, thankfully. It was a unicorn? The stallion was a light blue in color with a dark blue mane. He wore what appeared to be simple rack-like clothing. A smile was on his face.
Hello?
I replied, nudging Violet.
You can see this too, right?
She nodded, her expression blank.
Welcome to our home, weary travelers, the unicorn said. My name is Silver Sage, mayor of this town.
Hi,
I said, letting Stargazer back to its harness.
I wasn't aware that there were any ponies living out here.
Silver Sage nodded, smiling brightly.
I'm sure, he said. Most ponies don't even know we are out here. If you'll follow me, I'll take you up into the town proper.
He motioned for us to follow him and turned back towards the ship. I blinked.
You mean you live up there?
I asked, pointing at the ship.
Yes, of course. The Overcast has provided a lovely home for us, Sage replied. It is where the children of the cathedral have made their home for some time now.
We made our way to the edge of the ship, where Sage motioned for us to enter an elevator. The elevator took us up, depositing us onto the main deck. I blinked. Ponies of different colors and races flittered to and fro, smiling and waving. I blinked again.
The children of the what?
Sunshine said. Sage chuckled.
We are the children of the cathedral, of course, my friends, he said, leading us to what appeared to be a conference room. Please, take a seat and rest. I will send for some food.
My stomach growled, agreeing with that sentiment. Silver Sage spoke softly to one of the other ponies outside the hall, who promptly trotted off. The light blue unicorn turned back to us and smiled.
Now then, while we're waiting on that, what is a group of travelers such as yourselves doing this far out in the forest? It's not every day that we get to see a hellhound.
I appreciate that you did not run away screaming at that,
Nixie said calmly. Silver Sage chuckled.
Yes, well, we are all taught to accept anyone regardless of race, he said. It is one of the tenets we try to adhere to. We are a peaceful society born out of the slaves that Red Eye once imprisoned here.
You were once slaves?
I said, cocking my head. Silver Sage nodded.
Enslavers, he said. Once Red Eye was gone, we really had no pony to tell us what to do. We learned quickly that out here we couldn't fall into the slaver's versus slave operation. We had to help each other in order to survive.
I see. Well, we are only here to deal with some business, so we'll be out of your main soon, I said. Although we do appreciate the hospitality.
It is our pleasure, Silver Sage replied.
The pony from before opened the door to the conference room, entering with plates of sandwiches floating in their magic. I took mine and began to devour it greedily. It had been so long since I had anything absolutely substantial that I couldn't help myself.
Thank you for the food, Violet said after she had also cleaned off her plate.
Of course. Now then, you said you would be moving on soon, Silver Sage said. Where are you going that is so important?
I grimaced, knowing what my answer would be.
The cathedral itself, I said. We need to get in there.
Silver Sage's eyes widened.
But no pony has entered there in quite a long time, he said. It's desperately dangerous. I nodded.
I know, but there's some ponies there that I need to see, I said. I had hoped that you might be able to show us the best entrance.
I know of an entrance, Sage replied. You must understand, though, the cathedral is regarded as holy by our community. It is sacrilegious to enter it. I narrowed my gaze at him.
Regardless, we still need to enter, I said, sighing.
Sage looked apprehensive at this.
Look, let me level with you. There's another Elicorn inside the cathedral, probably way deep. She's planning on casting a spell that will grant her ultimate power and bring to life the elements of harmony in physical form. From there, they'll subjugate the wasteland into forced harmony. If I don't get in there and stop her, we'll all be mindless slaves to dangerous spirits. Make sense?
Silver Sage's eyes twitched. He finally nodded. I see, he said. I will show you where to enter. However, the others must not know of this. If they were to find out, well, I would not be looked upon favorably. Which is a nice way of saying that I'd be branded a religious heretic and most likely murdered.
I smiled. I knew I had a way with words and I had just secured us an entrance into the cathedral. I was doing so well. Still, something about how friendly these ponies were being felt a little off to me.
Don't worry, just tell us where the entrance is and we'll be out of your mane. You won't even have to show us where it is, I said. No pony will even have to know that you told us.
Silver Sage paused for a moment but finally nodded, grimacing. Okay, the entrance is near the lowest level of the Overcast's decks. You can reach it by taking the elevator down and exiting via the ruined hall, he said. The elevator is just down the end of this hallway. I pushed myself to my hoofs, smiling.
Thank you for your hospitality, Silver Sage, I said. I'm afraid, however, that we should be going. We have no time to waste.
I motioned for the others to follow.
We left the conference room, Silver Sage looking on from the hallway as we made our way to the elevator. I looked back at him. The stallion had a fierce expression on his face.
I've got a bad feeling about this,
I thought, opening up the elevator door. I nudged Violet, watching warily as the elevator door closed.
Heretics! I heard a shout. They attacked me and forced me to reveal the location of the holy place. They intend to breach it!
I face-huffed. Silver Sage was selling us out, of course. The stallion's shout was followed by the shouting of other ponies as they rushed to stop the elevator. Fortunately for us, the elevator began to descend just as they reached it. I flared my horn, using my magic to accelerate our downwards journey.
As soon as we hit the bottom, everyone run until we hit the entrance,
I said, grunting under the force of the elevator's weight. Are we even sure he gave us the right location? Violet asked. I shrugged.
Regardless, run. We'll find an entrance and get inside, I said, grinning.
The elevator slowed to a crawl, opening up into a ruined section of the Overcast. At the far end of the hallway was a gaping hole leading out into a burnt patch of land. Several feet away from the edge of the hall was a bridge, half broken but still usable. Beyond that was a set of double doors that led into the ruined cathedral.
There!
Sunshine called out. We began running, hearing the pounding of hoofs as the crazy religious ponies gave chase. I had to slightly question myself on how fast this whole deal had gone south, but chalked it up to crazy being crazy. Ponies living all the way out in the middle of nowhere without any other social contact had to be batshit crazy. We made it out of the ship proper as the first of the children of the cathedral appeared on the deck. Two unicorns, each brandishing magical energy rifles. They took aim and fired, missing us completely. I found myself being thankful for bad aim. Eventually, we found ourselves close to the edge of the bridge.
Keep going!
I shouted. I took a step onto the bridge and stopped dead in my tracks. Standing in the center of the ruined bridge was a pink Elicorn. Her mane was a rat's nest of insanity, her eyes a blazing blue. The gem that sat in her chest was also a brilliant blue. I looked back behind us. The children of the cathedral had also stopped as they too noticed the other mare. The pink Elicorn grinned widely, bouncing in place.
Ooh, new friends! I like new friends! Who wants to play a game? I know I do, and I know just the game! It's the one where you die!
Footnotes. Radiant Star, maximum level reached. New spell, Bladecaster. You now have the capability of summoning a special crystal blade that you can split into multiple pieces. It's going to take some time for you to get how to use it, though. Violet Iris, maximum level reached. Lilith, maximum level reached. Patch, maximum level reached.